Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills Podcast. Dag Heward Mills Podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. According to the Word of God, anybody at all whose name does not appear in the Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire. In this Tuesday's salvation message, you will learn about hell and why it is a place you must seek to avoid at all costs, but also save others from experiencing also. The hope and desire of God is that everyone will be saved from perishing once they receive eternal life through accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Find out from today's message what it means to enter the lake of fire and how you can escape this terrible fate.
Daily walking close. thy soul. Oh, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, this is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. If I falter, Lord, who cares? And who with all my burden share? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Oh, 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 just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, walking close to thee, let it be. Dear Lord, let it be. Oh, and just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea, and daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be, oh, let it be. Let it be, oh, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. I want you to ask God to speak to your heart this morning. Ask Him to speak to your heart this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for your word today. What a blessing it is to know you, to serve you. Thank you for your great blessing. We are thanking you. We are honoring you. Oh, Kandolama Shedelemeke Mandala Babandala. Thank you for this opportunity. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Well, I'm here again. And this morning, I'm going to be preaching about why you must not perish in the lake of fire. Hallelujah. It's an evangelistic message, because I'm now an evangelist. Hallelujah. Christ died to save us. Let's read John chapter 3, verse 16. And 17, if you don't mind. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Or this one says that the world might be saved through him. Amen. I do believe greatly that as soon as we keep our focus on the reason why God sent his Son, when we do that, we are going to experience greater and greater blessings. Amen. Now, when you go to work somewhere, no matter how long you try and how hard you try to do things the way you think they should be done, all right, you will never do well until you can please the person who is your boss or who is, the one in charge. No matter how much you know from wherever you came from, right? And how hard you try for years and years to do what you think is good and what you think is right, you will not do well until you get to the place where the one who is in charge is the person you can please. And therefore, there are some places you can't work. You know, for instance, there are some places that are high-level jobs in Ghana, for instance, which are very political. And the person there is appointed by maybe the president or is appointed by the government. And the government has its aims, its vision politically, right? So you may be running that organization. Let's say you may be running VRA, you know, and you may have learned all about electricity from America or Canada or wherever you were trained to be. You were trained, and you come and you are working for VRA. I don't know if that is the case, but I'm just using that as an example. It may be a bad example because I don't really know how VRA is run. But if it is controlled by the government, which I hope it isn't, but I think it may be, yes, you know, then things would not be done just in the right way, but in the politically right way. There's a difference between what is right and what is politically right. Because the VRA may say that we do not have the facilities or the capacity to take electricity to the north or to the south or to the west. But then the government may have promised that electricity will come to certain places for during the elections. And so they will want to put the electricity there even though it doesn't make sense. One time I was talking to a man who was in charge of some villages. I think he's a chief or the chief maker. And he said to me, you know, I feel so sad in my town. I really organized and brought electricity to the town. I thought, you know, the carpentry shops would improve. I thought the businesses would improve and so on. But he said, nothing has happened. The only thing that has happened is that the people say, oh, they come and tell him, oh, chief, now when we are walking the night, we can see our feet. We can see the ground. And so we thank you. And he said, there's no change in the town. So it may not be even economically viable or profitable to take electricity to some places because the people may not even use it for something. But if you want to do well in that VRA or at the head of that organization, it depends on if you want to do well or you just want right things to be done. If you want to do well, you're going to have to toe the line of the person who is at the top. You know, not necessarily just do what is good. Like somebody joined the army and they told him, listen, there's a right way, there's a wrong way, and there's the army way. And the way things are done in the army is different from the right way or the wrong way. It's the army way. So when you are here, you do things the army way. Yeah, that the U.S. Army, they told him when he joined. I heard this Kenneth Hagin Jr. He said when he joined the army, this is what they told him. He said, look, there's the right way, there's the wrong way, and there's the army way. It's how we do it here. So you either organize yourself and be in the army way, or you will always be a corporal. What do you think? Yes. So, when you start doing a job, after some time, you can easily become someone who thinks he knows what to do, even better than the person who even established the thing. Me, I've been sacked before from things that I established. I'm a founder of different things, and I've been sacked before from something that I established by the people that I appointed. So what I'm saying, you may not know that it's true till you have seen one, or even two, or three. You can establish something, build it, guide it, set it up, and the people who you have set up will sack you and say, giving reasons. You know? That's why some people never give up power. They will stay in sight all the time. You must see them because of how people are. Right. So what am I talking about? Because I've seen people at work and I realize that they don't do well. Sometimes even they lose their jobs because they have not learned that there is one thing in a job. It's the one who put you there. Even if he's an idiot and all that he wants to eat is kontomri and kenke in the afternoon. If that is what makes him happy, look, I'm telling you, it will be in your interest to, apart from everything you do, you get that kontomri and the kenke for the man, if that is what he wants. If you say, oh, you should eat the kontomri with yam, or you should not eat kontomri in the hot afternoon, the oil will melt in your stomach. No, it's what he wants. Do it. Amen. Now, what I want to say is that our church and God's blessing on our life can never be secured unless the one who established the church, which is Christ, is made happy. Amen. That's why I was saying all this about VRA, this, contemporary yam and all that. I'm just trying to say that Christ also is our boss. And we have to make him happy. And we have to find what he wants. And we have to try to do what he wants us to do. Amen. And I tell you, there's one thing about fulfilling the will of God. It is as you do it that you understand the importance of what you've been asked to do. Amen. It's only as you do it. So, how many want to God to really start to like us? What I can say is this. Let me tell you, is that there is one thing that I believe you will receive from God if you start to do what he wants. What do you think that is? Huh? What do you think you will get from God if you start to do what God wants you to do? What do you think you'll get from him? Huh? Money, cars, eternal life, heaven. What? I'm just asking, there's no trick. It's just a question. What do you think you will get from God when you do what he really likes or what he really wants? What do you think? Blessings, support, any other? Anointing, favor, we are getting closer. Huh? Okay, none of you, love, none of you are saying the right answer, okay? Okay? All that you need to do is to think about a boss, a manager, an owner, and somebody that is doing what he wants. What does he get from that person? Promotion? Not really. All these things you are saying are fruits of that thing that he will get. They are the second step you get after the first thing. He will like you. That's the thing. You see, human beings are not only logical, but we are also emotional. And we also have feelings. And those feelings actually control us sometimes more than common sense. If you take a manager or somebody, look, often if he likes you,
and even you don't work well, you still be surviving in the system. But you have somebody who is not liked, and then you've also gone to do the wrong thing. You now, you've brought yourself. They were looking for an opportunity. Now you've brought yourself, and then everything is being scrambled. So what I'm trying to say is that God will like you when you start to do what he wants. Wow. And when you are liked, God will be softer towards you. He'll be more lenient. Already now you are his favorite that you've gone to mess around. I said you are his favorite that has gone to fool around. Oh, I'm asking you a question. Have you seen something? Sometimes when some people die and their will is read, that is when you know who they like. Yeah. You see, most people have more children than houses. You didn't get what I'm saying. Most people have more children than houses. They may have 7 children and 2 houses. 8 children and 1 house. With 6 bedrooms. And sometimes they don't even know how to write their will, because it's like confusion. And they feel bad sometimes to give it to whom they want. But I tell you, if they are honest, they will even tell you, look, I want to give everything to this one. Yeah. Look, those of you who have children, you know that first of all children don't look alike, although they came from the same womb and the same process brought them into the world. They don't look alike. And number two, they don't behave alike. So, there is someone who is liked. And in the Bible, there were many confident people who gave according to what they felt. You know, God said, I love Jacob. I like him. May God like you.
Amen.
I say, may God like you.
Amen.
May you be liked. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I love Jacob. A thief. But I like him. You see, that's how you can be a thief and you'll be surviving. Because God is God likes you. I mean, a liar. He has broken all of God's principles, but God likes him. May you be liked from today in Jesus' name. Jacob had a son, Joseph. And he liked him because he always came and told his father what was happening. What the guys were saying, what they were doing. And you see, that particular thing made him like, he liked his boy. Maybe the other guys were bringing a lot of profit, business. They were bringing profit to the house. Sheep were growing. But this guy was sort of his personal spy and his personal help. He seemed to like him. And he gave him a coat of many colors. Because he liked him. Wow. Even though Joseph may have been proud because of his visions, God liked him. Jacob liked him. Many times in the Bible, the second born has been exchanged for the firstborn. And the blessing that would have been given to the first was given to the second. Because of a decision. I have a father, I like this one. And he just exchanged them. So brothers and sisters, before you get your promotion, before you are blessed, you are lifted up, there will be a certain favor and interest and liking towards you. May you always be liked and chosen. From tomorrow when you go to work, ask yourself, Charlie, am I wanted in this place? Because you see, it makes a lot of difference on how you do well here. You know? And sometimes those of you with negative minds, you may be liked, but you always see that you are not liked. So there are some minds that are always working in reverse. Right. So I said all that I said because I'm trying to say that we cannot get away from knowing what our Savior, not what Bishop Hayward Mills says, but what our Savior likes. Why did he come? God so loved the world so much, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, should not go to hell. That's what God wants. He doesn't want people to go to hell. And that's why today my sermon is why you should not perish in the lake of fire. The first reason, I'll just give you the reasons and then we'll close, is because hell is a place of sorrows. 2 Samuel 22 verse 6 speaks of the sorrows of hell. The Bible says the sorrows of hell have compassed me about. The snares of death have prevented me. Hell is a place of sorrows. And God loves us so much, he does not want anybody to go to hell. Even on this earth, when we are sad, we can be comforted. But it's a place where you will have sorrows forever. May you never go to hell in Jesus' name. May your father never go to hell in Jesus' name. May your mother never go to hell in Jesus' name. May your classmate not go to hell in Jesus' name. May your friends and workers, fellow workers, not go to hell in Jesus' name. May you preach the gospel to them so that they will not go to hell in the name of Jesus. Number two, hell is a place where you never die. You never die. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Mark chapter 9. It is better. The fire is never quenched. There is no fire like that in Ghana. Every fire is quenched except this particular fire. It never goes out. Recently, I was watching some Catholics on television and they were praying these prayers that they read out. Very beautiful prayers. And I'm if you are a Catholic or you have the prayer book, please get one for me because I want to learn those prayers. Because at one point they were saying, deliver us from the fires of hell. These were nuns. They were nuns who have been praying to God since their virginity. And they are praying to be saved from the fires of hell. Hey! I think most of us are not aware. Have you been bent before? Has fire bent you before? But this is a fire that never goes out. So if you start to do God's work and start to tell the rest of the world about this, God will suddenly take an interest in you. I said, look at her at Alajo. She's witnessing to somebody under the street light. And God will bless you. God will begin to like you. Hallelujah. Number three, hell is a place worth giving your eyes or your arms or your legs to avoid. It's a place that it's worth giving up your arms or your eyes or your legs for. It says, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. For it is better to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. Amen. That's the place that Christ came to save us from. I just came from a prison. I went to preach in a prison. And I was telling them that, look, this place, there is a similar place like this God has made. As for prisoners, anytime you get an opportunity to preach to them, always preach hope that one day they will be free. Because everybody in prison has only one prayer. He's not praying for a house. He's not praying for a job. He's not praying for a car. He only wants to be free. When you are in hell, you have no desire for anything, but only one thing, that you be free. How many of you here would like to go to the United States of America on Delta Airlines within the next 4 to 8 weeks for me to arrange that? I can arrange that for you. No, I'm talking about people who have never had a visa. You want me to arrange that just on Delta Airlines within 8 weeks? Raise up your hand. Okay, my sister, come. Are you a new member? No, okay. You don't have a visa. Have you applied before? No, if you have been there, I don't want you to come. You have applied before, they bounced you. No, I want somebody who has applied, they said no. Come. You have applied to go to America before?
Yes, please.
Okay. I have a connection that I want to offer to you. Would you like it?
Yes, please, Bishop.
Okay. There are three conditions. If you accept those conditions, I am guaranteeing you within 8 weeks, I will put you there. Will you accept it? Now, the first condition is that I want to remove your leg. Dr. Yale is a surgeon at Cofredra. I will get him to remove this leg. You just amputate around here. All right. No, you are going to America direct. And then the second condition is, do you want the left arm or the right arm to be removed? The left. So left arm and left leg should go. Short sleeve. It's the arm. Okay. And then the third condition for going to United States within 8 weeks is one of your eyes. I'm going to remove it. Left or right? Right. Are you still ready to go to America?
Yes, please.
All right, go and sit down. You are a foolish boy. Is it worth going to America with one arm and one leg and one eye? What is in America? You'll be going like this. One arm, one leg, one eye. For what? But there is a place. I said there is a place. It will be better to give your arms and your legs and your eyes, that you never go to that place. Yeah, there is a place. Jesus said it. If thy hand offend thee, cut it. It is better to enter than to have two hands and to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not. Crying. The worm, you see, the worms are wriggling. Pain, never ending. So when you are in real pain, you don't shout. Ah! When somebody is crying, the cry. You see, one time my wife was having a baby and she was shouting and she was speaking French. I said, no, this is not a real pain. She wasn't shouting, but she was speaking French. I said, my sister, if it is paining you, you will speak Fanti. Hey! Anyway, that's a debatable topic. But the point that I'm trying to make, are you listening? Is that there is a place where it never ends. And God has sent us as a church to take his gospel to the whole world. No matter how many houses we build and what business we are doing, that must be our number one priority. And when we do that, God will like us. How many want God to like us? Hey, try to do something to be liked. Not pretentiously, but from your heart. You do it, you will be liked. God will like you. Amen. Number four, hell is a place that is constantly being expanded to receive more people. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14, the Bible says, therefore, hell has enlarged herself and has opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14. Number five, hell is a place where you will be welcomed by demons and dead people. How many want to see demons welcoming you? In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 9, the Bible says, hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee. The dead are stirred up on your arrival. So as soon as you arrive, dead people who have gone to hell wake up and say, hey, Osei has come. Nana is here. Oh. How do they say Nana Eba? Oh. Nana Eba, eh? Nana Eba. Okay. Nana is arriving. Chiefs, he says that they are pomp and they are glory. They shall all descend. Number six, hell is a place where people beg for a drop of water. There was a certain rich man that was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate in Luke 16, verse 19, full of sores, desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell on the rich man's table. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and in hell he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I don't know of anywhere where they beg for just a drop. I know where they ask, can I have one sachet water? Is that how they say it? Sachet water. Do you have water? Water, however you call it. Pure water. But is there any water, any bottle there? There's a place. Is there any water in it? Yeah. There is a place. Thank you. There is a place. They are just a drop. Just a drop. They don't want a bottle. Just a drop like this. One of these drops. There is a place, I'm telling you. Just a drop. That's all they are praying for. When I went to Insawam Condemned Prison, I saw a man pouring water in a bucket like that. The water was pouring like that. I said, this place is a Holiday Inn hotel compared to hell. Because in hell, they are looking for just a drop like that. At this place, there's running water. Look, my friend.
This is the reason why we are in existence. That's why we have Valentine's Day in the church. That's the reason why we have fellowship meetings. That's the reason why we take tithes. It will never change. It will never change. It will never change. That is the reason why God sent his son, so that we would not perish, we would not go to this place, so that many people would have everlasting life. That reason will not change. No matter how hard you try to change it, it can't be changed. So let us let it be at the center of our hearts. And God will now turn his attention to you. And God will say, I like her, I like her, I like her. And he will send an angel to your life. Anytime God wants to do something, he sends angels. When you look at the book of Revelations, every activity that he did on earth, he sent an angel to do it. God will send angels. Kenneth Hagin had a vision. And in the vision, he was praying for some money. And Jesus appeared to him. And Jesus said, I'm going to send the money to you next week. And just behind him, he saw a very tall person who was even taller than Jesus, very big. And Kenneth Hagin asked the Lord, who is that man standing behind? He said, it's your angel, and he'll be bringing you some money next month. May your angel begin to organize some cash into the system, that you may please him and that you may live forever in eternity. And when you get to heaven, they will also say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful to what I originally asked you to do. May God like you. May he choose you. May he favor you. In Jesus' name. Stand to your feet. Close your eyes and let's pray together. If you are here this afternoon, you are not born again as a Christian. Maybe somebody invited you to church, but actually, you know that if something happens today or tomorrow, you die, you go to hell, or you die, whether you go to heaven or hell, you are not even sure. But you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me, pray for me. I want to give my life to God today. Maybe somebody brought you this afternoon to church. Maybe this is the first time you've come. Maybe you've come before. It's the second or third time. But today, you want to say, Pastor, I do not want to perish in the lake of fire. I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved. That's why God sent his son to this world. And that's what we are living for. If you are here today like that, you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to God. If you are here like that, just lift up your right hand wherever you are standing. Stand at the same place, but lift up your hand. I want to pray with you to give your life to God. I want to pray with you for your sins to be washed away. God bless you. Lift it up. God bless you. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. All over there at the back, I see your hand everywhere. Stand where you are, but lift up your hand. I want to pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Pastor, I don't want to go to hell. Me now, I know myself. I can't suffer pain much. I can't go to such a place. Pray with me. I want to give my life to God today. Lift it up high. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. At the back, so many hands today. God bless you. God wants to save you. That is why you are here this morning, because God is saving your life. He's changing your life. God bless you. Now, if you've lifted your hand, I want you to do one more thing. Come to me. Take your bag, your Bible, and come to. I'm coming downstairs to meet you. Come from where you are. Come all the way here. I want to meet with you here. Just come and stand here. I want to pray with you here. God bless you. 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 Come from everywhere. I want to pray with you. God is changing your life. Why? You must not go to hell. You must not go to hell, no matter what. You now, you know yourself. When they lashed you in school, it was so painful. You cannot stand pain. God is saving your life today. Come, come, come. Hey, maybe you are wondering, should I go or I shouldn't go? No, come now. God wants to set you free. God bless you. God, encourage them as they come. Come on, my brother, come on. Don't be there and then you go to hell. Why should you go to hell after coming to a church
where they preach about hell, that very day, you should have come to give your life to God. Don't stand there. It's not too late. Oh. Run to the front now, and your name will be written in the book of life, in the name of Jesus. Oh, clap for them as they come. God bless you, brother. God bless you, my sister. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, all of you here, I'm going to pray with you. I want you to just close your eyes, and I'm going to pray with you, and then you pray with me together. I'm going to lead you in your prayer, amen, to God. This is the first prayer that God is going to hear in your life. So close your eyes and say, everybody join me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Oh, Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. Please forgive me for all my sins. From today, I repent. I turn around. I come to you, Jesus. Oh God, please wash me in your precious blood. Oh God, please cleanse me with your precious blood. Please wash away my sins, all my wicked ways. I confess to you right now. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. From today, I give my life, I give my heart, I give my everything to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for saving me today. Please write my name in the book of life. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.